Thank you so much. Happy Father's Day to all of you. Thank you. It's an honor to be with you today on Father's Day. I've gone to baseball games for a long time, but I've never been able to get a baseball, foul ball. But I was actually able to get one of these today. So do you have one too? You guys have one. So I'm going to just kind of, let's see where that goes. That didn't go anywhere. So, and I think I hurt my arm. So, no. It's a great weekend. Weren't our kids ministry great? Weren't they? They were just wonderful. They're such a blessing to have our young people come and to minister to us that way. And our worship team did an absolutely great job this weekend, and we thank the Lord for them, don't we? So, and I just always want to thank our tech crew, because you guys are just the best. You're the unsung heroes, so thank you. So appreciate you guys. And thank you for being here today. And I do pray that the dads in this room, that you would feel loved and cared about, that you would know that you have a Heavenly Father that loves you. And so I have the privilege today about talking about the topic of adoption, from being an orphan to family, as we're studying this series on salvation, that when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, things happen. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Dave spoke on regeneration, that we are born again, that moment that we ask Jesus into our life, we are born again. Gina last week talked about sanctification, that we're set apart for God's holy purposes. And today we're looking at the topic of orphan to family, that we are adopted as God's children. But I'd like to share with you this little letter. It's entitled, Why Fathers Have Gray Hair. And so I began reading it to you. It says, a father passed by his 16-year-old son's bedroom and was astonished to see that the bed was nicely made and everything was neat and tidy. Then he saw an envelope propped up on the pillow, and it was addressed Dad. The father opened up the envelope and began to read. Dear Dad, it is with great regret and sorrow that I'm writing you. I've decided to elope with my new girlfriend because I wanted to avoid a scene with you and Mom. I have fallen in love with her. I knew you would not approve of her because of her time in prison and the fact that she is so much older than I am. She says that we're going to be very happy. She owns a trailer in the woods and has a stack of firewood, just enough for the whole winter. And we share a dream of having many children. Please don't worry, Dad. I'm 16 and I know how to take care of myself. I'm sure we'll be back to visit someday so you can get to know your grandchildren. Your loving son. P.S. Dad, none of the above is true. I'm over at Tommy's house. I just wanted to remind you that there are worse things in life than a report card that's in the desk drawer. I love you. Call when it's safe for me to come home. Well, that young man's hope is that his dad's love is greater than that report card. And you and I have an assurance today, though, from the Word of God, that God loves us unconditionally, and that his heart for you and I is to reach out to us in love and to be our Father. And I realize in a group this size that I'm sure there's lots of us that had great relationships with our dad, and maybe you didn't have a dad growing up, or maybe it was a challenging relationship. My dad passed away when I was 2 years old, so I grew up without a dad in our home. But I'm so thankful that our God is a God who reaches out to us, and he reaches out to us as Father. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I'm going to pray and just ask the Lord to bless our time together this morning. So let's pray. Precious Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came and you died for our sins, and Father in heaven, thank you so much for the loving sacrifice that you made for us, Lord, that you reach out to us so that we might become your children. I pray that this morning, Lord, that each of us would have a fuller experience, a fuller understanding of your great love for us as your children. So please, Lord, now in this time, draw us close to you, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Well, the topic of adoption, and I'm in Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology, adoption is described this way, defined this way, that its adoption is an act of God whereby he makes us members of his family. It's an act of God whereby he makes us members of his family. And as we're looking at this topic of salvation, there's different ways to look at salvation. The topic of salvation is so deep and so wide. But this morning we're looking at that act where he makes us members of his family. And this doctrine of adoption, and this is a quote from a theologian named Gavin Ortland. He says, "The doctrine of adoption is as warm as the Bible gets. I can hardly think of anything more comforting, more nourishing, more uplifting than the glorious truth that when we trust in Christ, we are made into the sons and daughters of the Creator God." You know, I love that phrase. You know, there's nothing, you know, that's as warm as the Bible gets. And I pray this morning that we would each have that sense of that warmth as we meet today, and that the Spirit of God would just enliven in your spirits that sense of love and care that God has for you, and his desire to be your father, to care for you and to provide for you and to protect you because of his great love. Now, our condition before we come to faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is that we were spiritually dead and separated from God, that we were enslaved to sin. The Bible describes us as people being under God's judgment, that we are enslaved to sin. And in that sense, we are orphans, we're abandoned. But God, in his great love for you and I, reaches out to us and leaves us not fatherless, but draws us to himself. And as the Bible describes it here, that we are adopted by him and brought into his family. And God becomes our father. And in the book, Knowing God by J.I. Packer, he writes this. He says, "If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and his whole outlook on life, it means that he does not understand Christianity very well at all. Father is the Christian name for God." You know, what a wonderful truth that is, that God reaches out to you and I as Father. And so this morning, I'm going to make several points here as we talk about this topic of adoption. And the first one is this, is that the moment that we trust Jesus Christ to save us, we are adopted into God's family and God becomes our Father. In John chapter 1 and in verse 12, it says, and let's read this together. "But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." The phrase to believed and accepted, this idea that we put our confidence in Jesus Christ to rescue us from the power of sin, and we receive the free gift of salvation. We ask Jesus Christ to come into our life, and we see that it is by grace alone, it is by faith alone, that we come into this relationship with God as our Father. That word become has also the understanding to begin to be. And that moment that you and I ask Jesus Christ into our life, we are adopted into God's family, we begin to be children of God in that specific sense of having a relationship with God, and that we are born again, we are sanctified, we are adopted into the family of God. In John chapter 14, in verses 2 and 3, it starts us out and reminds us of the song that the kids' ministry did. "My Father's house has many rooms." Jesus goes on, "If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know, my Father's house has many rooms. You know, we live in what in the this, you know, generation, right? They talk about boomerang children, right? You know, the kid's 18 and they leave home, and then they're 19 and they leave home again, and then they're 23 and they leave home again. So, but God says to you and I that He has plenty of room for you and I, and that there's always going to be a place for us. In our Father's house, there's always going to be a place because He loves us. He welcomes us home. And that moment that we trust Jesus Christ to save us, we're adopted into God's family, and God becomes our Father. Secondly, number two, God's loving tenderness is revealed in adopting those who trust in Jesus Christ. God's loving tenderness is revealed to us in this doctrine of adoption. In Psalm 68 and verse 5, and let's read this together. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His holy dwelling. God's loving tenderness is revealed in this doctrine of adoption. His warmth, His love, His care for you and I. As I mentioned, my dad passed away when I was two. And I know in the depth of my heart, I wanted a father. And then when I was 19 years old, I read this passage and it changed my life. I think growing up, I know I had a conception of God being harsh and condemning, you know, kind of walking around with a lightning bolt, you know, waiting for me to mess up. You know, oh, there, Vince did it. I'm going to get him. But as I began to read the Bible, as I began to pray, as I began to build relationships with people that had a relationship with Jesus Christ, I began to discover that God was tender, that He was loving, that He cared about me. And when I read that passage that we just read, God pulled me in to having a relationship with Him, that I discovered that this God wanted to be my Father. And then also, too, that He was going to take care of my mom, who was a widow at the age of 27. I mean, it changed my life. And I came into a relationship with Jesus Christ. So that moment that we trust Jesus, we are saved, we are adopted into His family, we become His children, we discover God's loving tenderness. Thirdly, number three, God is delighted when someone crosses the line from unbelief to faith in Jesus Christ to become His children. In Ephesians 1:5, it says that God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. That word pleasure means to delight, or it means even satisfaction. And, you know, we talk about that, the Gospels talk about that the angels rejoice when a sinner repents and comes to faith in Jesus Christ, right? It talks about that. But it is also true that God as our Father rejoices when one person puts their faith in Jesus Christ and comes into the kingdom of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Number four, our fourth point, that as His adopted children, God gives us the fullness of His blessings. The fullness of His blessings. God doesn't hold back. You know, maybe some of you are familiar with Little Orphan Annie. And remember Little Orphan Annie? You know, back in I think Little Orphan Annie probably started back in the Depression and the comic strip. They made the movie in the 70s, which is the one that I remember mostly. But remember Daddy Warbucks, right? He brings Little Orphan Annie into his house. And then eventually he adopts her, Little Orphan Annie, and I guess she becomes not little Annie Warbucks then at that point. But she receives those blessings of this guy being a millionaire, right? And the reality is this, though, is that as God's adopted children, it is nothing in comparison to what God gives to you and I, right? The blessings that God pours out upon you and I as His children is amazing. In Galatians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 7, it says, but when the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that He could adopt us as His very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you an heir. That passage just pours out the blessings that God has given to us because of his adoption, of adopting us into his family, that we have freedom, that now we are described as his very own children. We call God Abba, Father. That sense, that the idea of God is our daddy, he is our papa. And we are no longer a slave now, but we are an heir. Those are the blessings that God gives to us. He does not hold back, but he pours out his blessing. In Romans chapter 8 and verses 14 to 17, again, Paul writes, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering." That we are led by the Spirit. We are God's own child. He is our Abba, Father. He joins his Spirit to our spirit. We are heirs. And we have that assurance from God that even if we suffer, that God promises that there's better days ahead because we are his children. He has adopted us into his family. And what an incredible, beautiful picture that is. That, and we see it, right, in when a family adopts children, you know, those not born biologically to them, but they reach out and find these precious children that are orphaned and bring them into their home. God has a great love for you and I. He has a passion for us. And while at one time we were separated from God and orphaned, God has brought us into his family and has blessed us abundantly. Max Lucado has a great quote where he says that if anybody understands God's passion for his children, it's someone who has rescued an orphan from despair. For that is what God has done for us. God has adopted you. God has sought you, found you. He signed the papers and he took you home. You know, what an incredible blessing to know that our God is a father who wants to adopt. He wants to bring children into his family, into his home, and to care for us. And as Max Lucado said, if you want to understand that passion, it is someone who has rescued orphans and has brought them into their home. And at this time, I'd like to invite a good friend and brother, Thomas Wade, to come up here and share about his adoption journey. Let's give Thomas a hand. I've known Thomas and his beautiful bride, Callie, for a little while here, pre-kids. And so, Thomas, thank you so much for sharing, brother. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Since before marriage.
Yeah, that's before right.
Marriage counselor.
That's right.
That's brought me to Christ. So thanks for the opportunity to give you guys a glimpse into our family and to try to explain to you about how God has worked both in and just through our family. So this is my wife, Kelly, my son, Brager, Willa, Jeremiah, and Zebediah. So we've got four kids, four beautiful kids, two biological and two that came to us through adoption. So Pastor Vince asked me to try to explain or answer three kind of brief questions, and they're pretty simple, but the answers aren't. First, why did we adopt? Second, what benefits did our two youngest sons receive because we adopted them? And finally, what blessings did I receive as a father? So in order to answer the first question of why we adopted, you need to first kind of understand that this adoption process or adoption isn't like a singular event. It's a journey. It's quite a journey. And that while we have, yes, adopted, it's our hope that that's not what defines or identifies our family. What I do want is I want to be identified, or I want our family to just simply be obedient to God. And so this adoption journey has been a lesson in obedience to our family. So early in our marriage, although we were believers, we weren't living a God-centered life. And it wasn't until we put God ahead of our marriage ahead of our kids, ahead of our careers, ourselves, that he really began to work in our lives and to lead us into adoption and then to reveal to us the reasons why. And as it turns out, the reason why we wanted to adopt is exactly the same reason that God decided to adopt us into his own family. We prayed for God to show us his heart, and he did. So we talked about Ephesians 1, and I'm going to just kind of go over it in our family context, what it kind of means to us. So it reads, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. It made him happy. When someone you love draws near to you, it makes you happy. So those adoptions, both ours into God's own family and those children into our family, they weren't acts of pity. God doesn't feel sorry for us. He loves us. He wants us to be close to him. And when we are, it's pleasing to him. The second question of what benefits did our two youngest sons receive because we adopted them? That one's much easier, and it applies to all my kids. They get the best dad in the whole world, right? But it's not me. So all those kids right here on this stage have come across and have been dedicated to the Lord. So we kind of learned slowly, but we've learned that nothing that we thought was ours is really ours. Not our house, not our money, not our selves, and definitely not our children. So we are children of God. They are children of God. They belong to God. Deuteronomy 6 tells us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and to teach us diligently to your children. That's a parent's job. And in Proverbs 22:6, it tells me, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he was old, he will not depart from it. So those are the blessings. If we will obey God, our children will see the blessings. That's the benefit that they're going to see. And the third and final question was, what benefits did I receive as a father? And anyone that has kids knows this. So they're going to put a smile on your face every day. Sometimes a wince, but always a smile, even on the worst days. And I expected this. But what I forgot, and I shouldn't have been surprised by this, because God is who he is, and he works this way all the time. But I forgot this, and it surprised me, is that God, he blesses us, but when he does so, he blesses us abundantly, more than you can imagine. And God's plans are always better than mine. And then finally, God wants to give us joy instead of mourning. He wants to give us a beautiful headdress instead of ashes. He wants to replace that brokenness with joy. And so it's important to realize that adoption almost always starts from some kind of loss, some pain. There's a breakdown in God's designed family unit. And that's where adoption starts from. But in the midst of that loss, there's been all these blessings, you know, that God has shown us, and all these relationships that I didn't expect. So we have relationships with birth mothers that we just love and adore, and it seems scary, but God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. That's not from God. One of my sons, he has biological siblings that have been adopted by other families, and we kind of tracked them down. They're a great family. We've been blessed by a relationship with that family as well. The kids are going to grow up knowing each other. We have been blessed by relationships with other adoptive families that have really kind of taken us under their wing, mentored us, prayed for us, and helped us navigate a sometimes difficult system. We were even blessed when family members told us, you're going to ruin your family, and we don't support you. And then we watched as God as only God can, work in their lives to soften their hearts. And we were witnesses to this whole process, watching this complete 180-degree turn. So that's something only God can do, and it was a blessing to be able to see that. We've been blessed by all the prayer warriors that have hit their knees on our behalf time and again, and I'm just thankful to God for all my kids and for being blessed, and not only being blessed, but being blessed abundantly. So thank you very much. Thanks, Pastor James.
Thank you, Thomas. Thank you. Happy Father's Day.
Thanks. And you too.
Appreciate you. It's been really pretty exciting to see Thomas and Kelly's growth and development, and to see them pass their faith down to their children, and to see how seriously they take their walk with the Lord, and to see that being exhibited now in their children, which is really, really exciting. Well, I just would like to just kind of run through with you six blessings of being adopted into God's family. And I realize we could probably just do one sermon for, you know, a week. But I just want to just highlight these as we kind of go through this sermon. So the first one is this: the six blessings of being adopted as God's children into His family. Is number one, we have intimacy with God as our Father. Romans 8:15 says that we can call God Abba Father. And, you know, it's that daddy-papa relationship. It's a word of warmth and care. And I remember when my sons called me daddy. You know, they'd meet me there at the door, and, you know, and it was just great. You know, not even now, even my dog doesn't meet me at the door. You know, so, but that's okay, because I can have intimacy with God as my Father. Secondly, number two, we have relationships with other followers of Christ as members of one family. And it is a true statement that we are brothers and sisters. And I know at times brothers and sisters can get on each other's nerves, but we're still family. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, "You are no longer called outcasts or wanderers, but citizens with God's people." And if you feel like you're an outcast, if you feel like you're wandering around, you know, that's not right. And I would encourage you to talk with someone, to come up and pray, because as a member of God's family, it says that we are members of God's holy family, residents of His household. And I shudder to think of the love and support and encouragement and care that I have received being a part of God's family. And I pray that we would recognize that one of the blessings that God has given to you and I is to be a part of God's family. Thirdly, we have the privilege to imitate and honor our Father in heaven. You know, one of the great privileges of being a part of God's family is that you and I have an opportunity to imitate, as Paul says in Ephesians 5:1, to imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. That, you know, that may sound like a challenge, but it really is a privilege. It really is a blessing to imitate God in this world, because we know God is loving, He is just, He is merciful, that God has standards. To be able to live that out in our life, that we can point to that the fact that there is a God in heaven who is real, and we live for Him, and that is a privilege that you and I have. Number four, we have a new identity as God's children. And in 1 John 3:1, it says, "See what a great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." We don't have to wait to die to become a child of God. That right now, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are children of God. And we could lose health, finances, position, but as a follower of Christ, we remain a child of God. And that is a new identity that you and I have. Number five, we have the Holy Spirit to lead us and to assure us. Romans 8:14 says that we are led by the Spirit of God. Verse 16 says, "For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children." The Spirit gives to us because we are his children. He leads us. He gives us assurance. And how many of us in this room need guidance and assurance? You know I do. And being a part of God's family, God adopting us in, he gives us that guidance and assurance. And then number 6, as a child of God, adopted into God's family, we have an inheritance waiting for us. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, it says that if we are God's children, that means we are his heirs along with the anointed, set to inherit everything that is his. You know, when I pass from this earth, my sons are going to get a bunch of old comic books. But as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, as the Bible says, no eye has seen or no ear has heard what is set in store for you and I as a child of God. It is just absolutely amazing. It is indescribable what God has in store for you and I because we are his children. He has adopted us into his family. We are his children, and we have this great inheritance waiting for us. And I pray, you know, in sermons, you know, you go through a sermon preparation class, and part of the sermon is, you want to get people to do something. You want to, move them to some sort of action. And, you know, in this morning, I don't want to tell anyone here that you're not doing it good enough. You're not, being strong enough. You need to improve this. You need to change that. My heart for you this morning is that you would be able to some greater degree be able to embrace the love that God has for you. Because it is a true statement that God loves us all. And I know we hear that. It's, maybe one of the most common things we hear. But it's something that becomes so vital to us. I know I've shared this before. The first time I ever drove through this area, driving by where the old Marie Callender's is and seeing the ocean, being down from L.A., I mean, my jaw dropped when I saw the ocean. It was so beautiful. And now when I drive by that spot, by the old Marie Callender's, I don't even think twice about it now. And I don't want that to be true of our understanding of God's love for you and I. That when we hear that God loves us, that it would bring joy to our hearts. When we hear that, we would want to draw closer to God because we would know that his love for you and I is unconditional. It is real. It is sincere. And he cares about each of us. And I pray that your heart, your mind would be open to receive the love that God has for you and I. And I know I've shared this story too. I'm starting to repeat myself. You know, they let me up here a few times and you hear the same story over and over again, but that's okay. When my younger son was about 2 or 3, I remember there was one night he didn't want to go to sleep. And so I laid in bed with him. And I don't know if childhood experts would agree with that, but I laid with him and, watched him as his little eyes closed and he fell asleep. And I remember in those moments just feeling like, I know this isn't spiritual to say, but I felt like the luckiest guy on the face of the earth to have this precious boy as my son. And the love that I had for him, the care, the commitment that I felt for him was just amazing. And in that quiet moment, I had this overwhelming sense of God saying to me, "Vince, the way you feel about your boy is how I feel about you." And I pray that all of us would have that sense that we are precious to God, that when we were orphans, God reached out to us. He brought us home. He signed the papers. He made us part of his family. And now he has made a commitment to you and I because of his great love for us. And so I pray and I hope that on this Father's Day, that you would gain a greater understanding, a greater appreciation of how much God loves you. And he is your father. And again, I recognize that maybe for some of you, you hear the word father and because of a challenging past, maybe that's hard to hear. But I pray healing in your lives and I pray that you would be able to come to God as your father and embrace the love that he has for you. I just want to say before I finish up here that I thank the Lord for the dads here at New Life Community Church. You have just been an incredible example to me of dads who love their children, who are committed to them, and I thank the Lord for each of you. And I know we live in a culture and a time, you know, where dads are made fun of in the media. You know, the dads are usually kind of the dummies and, you know, kind of, you know, the dumb ones, right? But just know that God values you as fathers. Amen? Amen. And we thank the Lord for the dads. You guys are just awesome, and I thank the Lord for each of you. So when we're finished here, you know, they're taking pictures in the courtyard. I think I saw donuts being served at the last service. So, you know, don't elbow anybody on your way out. But if you would, it's just a prayer of dedication. Would you please stand? And let's pray this prayer of dedication together. Let's pray this. Thank you, God, for being our Father, Shepherd, Guardian, and Guide. We will never outgrow our need for your love and care. We want to seek you with all our heart that we might know you intimately. And precious Lord Jesus, I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord, here in this room. And I pray, God, that by your Spirit, that you would open up every heart, every mind here, Lord, to your great love for them, for us, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the dads, Lord, that are in this room this morning, Lord, that are watching online, that they would have a sense, Lord God, of your desire to bless them and to enable them, Lord. And none of us are perfect, Lord. I just think of my own failures. But I thank you, Father, that with you there is grace and mercy and forgiveness and there are second chances, Lord. May we embrace that this day. Lord God, I pray that by your love, would you draw us close to yourself, Lord, and may we understand in greater measure, Lord, today, of how deep your love is for us. And so, precious God, we commit ourselves to you, Lord, knowing that you want the very best for us as our Father. So, Lord, we love you, and we commit ourselves to you now. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said,